Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
We'll go to James chapter 1, verse 12. And I'll begin reading. I can't really see this close so far, so I'll read off of this. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creature." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful, God, that you died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we're grateful for the word of God, Lord, and how honest it keeps us. Thank you, Lord, for your convictions, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your Lord, just your grace. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll forgive us for our sins. Lord, I'm not perfect. I know nobody here is perfect, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to me, speak to them. Be with Pastor, Lord, as he recovers. Lord, I pray that it be your words and not mine. Grateful, God, that we're able to be alive and breathe and come to church and have a true God that we can worship. Lord, I thank you for the word of God, Lord. Lord, I love you. I thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. I pray in Christ's name, amen. I looked all day yesterday for an illustration about Indians, because, you know, our pastor's Indian. So here it is. So Iron Eye Cody is a Native American actor who once did a television spot for Keep America Beautiful. He was an Indian drifting along in a canoe as he saw how our waters were being polluted and a single tear rolled down his cheek. Telling the whole story, this powerful public service commercial still shows up on TV today. In 1988, Cody repeated an old Indian legend in the Guidepost magazine. Here goes. It says, "Many years ago, Indian youths would go away into solitude to prepare for manhood. One such youth hiked into a beautiful valley, green with trees, bright with flowers. There he fasted. But on the third day, he looked up to the surrounding mountains. He noticed one tall, rugged peak. Capped with dazzling snow, he said to himself, 'I will put myself to the test. I will climb that mountain.' He put on his buffalo hide, his skirt, threw his blanket over his shoulders, and set off to climb the peak. When he reached the top, he stood on the rim of the world. He could see forever. His heart swelled with pride. Then he heard out of a rustle at his feet and looked down and he saw a snake. Before he could move, the snake spoke. And he said, 'I am about to die,' said the snake. 'It's too cold for me here. I'm freezing. There's no food. I'm starving.' He says, 'Put me under your shirt. Take me down to the valley.' 'No,' said the young man." I don't know about you, but if I hear a snake talking to me, I'm running. All right, so he said, "No," said the young man. He says, "I'm forewarned." He says, "I know of your kind." He says, "You are a rattlesnake. If I pick you up, you will bite me, and the bite will kill me." "Not so," said the snake. He says, "I will treat you differently. If you do this for me, you will be special and I will not harm you." The youth resisted for a while, but this was a very persuasive snake with beautiful markings. I'd never seen a beautiful snake, right? That's one thing, if you put a snake in front of me, I'm out. So at last, the youth tucked it under his shirt, carried it down to the valley. There he laid it on the gentle grass, and when suddenly the snake coiled up, rattled, leaped, bit him in the leg. He says, "But you promised." He says, "You promised you wouldn't bite me." The snake said, "You knew what I was when you picked me up." The snake bit him and slithered away. Temptation. Temptation, just like the snake, will bite you. Listen, I when I was reading about this, and yes, we're all adults. Yes, we're grown-ups. I'm 32 years old, so I'm turning like my dad. I do the same mannerisms. I say the same things. I act the same way. I drink my coffee the same way. So I feel like I'm an adult today, okay? So I'm going to speak to you like an adult. So temptation, there's a rush to it. There's a rush to temptation. There's this, I don't know what it is, to do something that you don't want to get caught doing, to do something that's taking you away from God, but I don't know what it is, but when you're doing it, your heart starts to beat, your face starts to sweat, your hands start to clam up, and you're like, man, I'm getting away with this. There's a rush to it. I don't know why the human wants to do stupid things that is against God, but every time we do it, we felt like, well, we got away with that one. What's next? See, it encourages one to make a permanent decision based on a temporary pleasure. That's temptation. Right? It allows one to believe that they can do no wrong. No, that they can do wrong and get away with it. Temptation. Look, I've been by myself for a week, and I was like, Lord, bring her back quick, because I'm a man and I will fail. And as I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my Bible, and I'm like, Lord, keep me balanced, because I know myself. Temptation. There's a rush to it. There's an excitement to it. There's something that pulls you to it, that no matter where you are, no matter who you're doing, what you're seeing, what you're watching on TV, what you're seeing on your cell phone, but you feel tempted that you should be doing something other than loving the one that God put in your life, other than reading your Bible, you get drawn to that something that wants to take you away from it. It's exciting. There's a rush to it. But like this one dude on a mountain, when he picked the snake up, the snake said, you knew what I was, and you grabbed me. See, the Bible tells us here, tells us in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. You could turn there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 41. I'll give you a second. The rush of temptation produces a rush. Man, that is, I don't know why. I can't explain it. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. It says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, nobody here is perfect. Oops, the cat's out of the bag. If you think you're perfect, you already failed, because now you're trying to be something you're not. That's why God gave us him to hold us up. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, because he knew our condition wasn't perfect. That's why God gave us the word of God, because he knew that there was going to be a day, Eddie, you're going to sit there, you're going to think things that you shouldn't be thinking, but he knew with all his willingness that you're going to need me that day. Right? It's a daily struggle. It's a daily walk with him. Right? How can we overcome temptation? How do we get rid of that rush? Is that you get a rush with Jesus. You get a rush with hanging out with the people that loves the Lord. You stand around those that want to serve God so you can flee from temptation. Because if not, it will hold you. Look, man, I was thinking about this the other night, and I'm sitting there, and the girls are jumping around doing their thing, and I'm like, man, I wish I could jump around and do my own thing, but I'm tired. I don't know what it is about two energetic girls, but I felt like I need to sleep. Right? I'm like, so I go, let's go outside. And then I was like, well, that lasted 2 minutes. Let's go back inside. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, Lord, look, why is it this? Why is it that you worked on me for 9 years since I got saved? And every year I feel like God has been taking this chisel, his word, and washing me, and taking the stuff out of my mind that I used to see, taking things away that I used to do, and he's been chiseling at me for 9 years. I go, 9 years, Lord. 9 years. I'm at the point in my life right now where I feel like, man, I could do anything for you. I just need your help. And I was sitting here thinking about it. All I have to do is one stupid thing. One. And then 9 years of work is gone. One thing. Why? We need to realize, look, man, I don't know why I'm preaching this. I'm telling you, this has been on my heart for the last week. But there is a rush to temptation, and the only way to get away from it is the word of God. The only way to get away is praying. Only way to get away from it is to stand up and have character. And if something comes on the TV that you shouldn't watch, walk away. It takes a real man to get up, a woman, right? Real man and woman. Don't worry, I love all of you. But real men and women, to get up and do what's right. That's called character. Right? I don't know what it is to get up and do something that you shouldn't be doing. But, man, the Bible also says here, and I'm going to read it to you. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee fornication. I'm not smart, but I know the word flee means don't stay. Right? Flee fornication. Do you know what the Bible says, that if you lust after another person that's not your spouse, or you look at somebody else that's not your spouse, or you think something you shouldn't, that you resent in your heart? Do you guys know that? Do you guys know that after that verse it says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his whole body? You know what Benjamin Franklin said? And this blew my mind. It said, it is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy everything after. Temptation has a rush to it, but there's also consequences. Man, it's been a trying year for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's moving here and not having family. I only have my wife and then have you guys. I don't know what it is, if it's like I'm going through menopause. Can guys go through menopause? I feel like it. Right? I have no idea what it is, but all I know is that this year has been trying. And this year I have seen more things cross my path that I used to do, right? People asking me to do it, and it's easier to get involved in it. And every time it comes like, Eddie, come with me, I'm like, no, man. Because I know myself. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to know where you're at in your spiritual life. Can you handle it? Absolutely not. But that's why he gave us him. That's why it's important to come, man. There's a song saying being washed by the word. That's why it's important to be around people that love the Lord, so that you don't slip, right? Like, you don't walk next to a pool. You ever walk next to a pool and you took that one slip, then you embarrass yourself in front of everybody else? That's what temptation does to you. See, not only is there a rush to temptation, there's a risk to it. See, temptation is common. Therefore, everybody gets tempted. Do you guys know that? I'm not the only one. Everybody in this room gets tempted. The Bible says, if you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10:13, it said, there hath no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. Do you know that? That before we were born, before we came to America, before any of this, that back in Bible days, they were already going through the things that you are going through now, but even worse. And he gave us the verse to tell us that no matter what, hey, it's not common. It's common for everybody to feel that way. It's common to say the things you shouldn't say. It's common to fall into sin. Hey, it's common. You're not exempt from that. See, the Bible tells us that there's no temptation taking you but which is common to man. But God is faithful. See, what I think we forget is that we can't get away from it, that God has to help us get away from it. We think that we could do it in our own power. Hey, when you wake up one morning and you feel like you can do it in your own power, you will fail that day. Do you get that? And do you know how hard it is to come back from failing because you think, well, I now slipped. I'll wait until 2018. I'll change my life in 2018. 2017 is already gone. When you fall into that struggle, when you fall into that thing that God took you away from it, it's harder to come back and stand up because you think people are looking at you weird. But let me tell you, it's common. You're not the only one. And that's why his grace is sufficient for thee, he said. Because you're not the only one failing. Don't get caught up in that, well, man, I messed up, I can't come back to God, because that's a lie. Do you guys understand that? That is a lie. He loves you so much that when he died on the cross, he gave us a way back to escape. That's through him. You will fail. Newsflash, that's free. You will fall into temptation. But listen, he gave you a way to escape it. See, the Bible, I'm going to finish reading that verse, and he says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There's a lesson. And everything we do in our Christian life, there's a lesson that he has given us for that next person who's going through it worse than you are. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be a drunk. I used to do things I'm not proud of. But when I get a guy who talks to me at work and says, hey, I'm struggling with this, I'm like, man, I've been through that. Let me tell you how I got through it. The Lord took me away from that. Let me show you how. Do you know what it is to live in the street of Philadelphia and then go to Christian college right away? It was mind-blowing. I had no idea what I was doing. All I know is that I couldn't get what I wanted, and I had to change quick. Hey, listen, God puts people in your life so you can help them and vice versa. Because guess what? It's not common. It's common to me. It's been done before. So here's so I'm sitting here on the computer, I'm reading this, and I'm writing these notes out, and I'm talking to my kids, and I'm texting Bev like, hey, when you coming back? Can we change your plane ticket? She's like, I'll be back Sunday. I'm like, that's cool. And then I'm thinking about all this, and I'm like, Lord, I just thank you so much that I have Pastor Ms. Chandra, Brother Cesar, that I could talk to the FBI guy who I don't say much because I feel like he's recording me. But I have you guys in my life to get through the things that I'm going through because you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what it is to sit in church and have a movie playing in your head of things you used to do. And I feel like every day I'm going to slip. But I thank God for his word. I thank God for you. And let me tell you, there's a risk to temptation. And if you don't yield to God's warning, if you don't yield to his word, to his love, if you don't yield to being in church and coming in and getting washed by the word, then you will fail. You will fail. Temptation is serious. Man, it's overwhelming. Temptation is contrary. The Bible said temptation always leads to wrong. Do you guys know that? I'm on a diet, so if I walk to the fridge and I see a piece of cake, I'm tempted. And I'll eat the whole thing. It always leads to something that you're not going to be proud of. Temptation is corrupting. One does not come out smelling like a rose. When you're tempted and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing and you're saying things that you shouldn't be saying or you're watching things you should be watching or you're hiding. You're hiding. People know. They see change. Your demeanor changes. The way you used to laugh at clean jokes changes. How you act towards one another changes. Temptation, because of the rush, because of your hiding it, because of you wanting to let it overwhelm you, will change you. Do you understand that? You know what the Bible says, that God, you can't serve God and mammon? You know what the Bible says about serving the world? You know what the Bible says, that if you let in, you let it in. You know how hard it is to let it out? See, it says it right here. It says in John 14:15, if you love me, not me, care if you love me, but if you love him, he says, you'll keep my commandments. Romans 13:14 says, it says, but be ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See, there's a rush to it. There's a risk to temptation. I'm going to hit it home with this. And I want you to guys know that I wrote a lot here, so I'm going to read it. There's a ruin to temptation. The ruin. I'm going to tell you this. When one man, Achan, yielded to temptation and hid away gold, the whole army of Israel, once gloating over victory, was suddenly thrown into the fear of defeat and death. Gaza, when he had seen numerous miracles from Elijah perform, and yet giving into temptation, he collected clothes and money from Naaman and ended up with life with leprosy. And his kingship became firmly established. David fell into temptation, taking another man's wife, fathering an illegitimate child, and at the end, committing murder. Motivated by pride, he also took censures over the objections from his advisors. This resulted in the death of 70,000 Israelites. Samson was gifted with unmatched strength, overpowered by his carnal desire. However, he had his eyes plucked out at the end, and like an animal, met a tragic end along with his enemies. Prophet Balaam, blinded by his desire for material wealth, disobeyed God and went to bless Balak, king of Moab. His life ended tragically. Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, lied that they had given away all while setting aside for themselves part of the possessions. They were struck down dead by the two back on the same day. Janus and Jambres went down in history as people opposed Moses and went against truth. Paul, the greatest apostle of all New Testament, also had many enemies. Demas, having loved this present world, left Paul for the world. The Bible records Hymenaeus and Alexander, once part of the Christian community, were handed over to Satan. There's a ruin to temptation. Enticement or enchantment leads to promised enjoyment, followed by an agreement, involvement, entanglement, and the bitter end, entrapment. The final eruption of Mount St. Helens in May of 1980 was not a sudden event. For 2 months prior, the massive blast, the most deadly and destructive in American history, earthquakes, volcanic activities, signaled a major event was underway. Authorities had plenty of time to sound the alarm and warn those living nearby of the looming death and danger. Yet, despite the seriousness of the threat, some people chose to disregard the warnings. Probably the best known of those who refused to evacuate was Harry Randall Truman. The 83-year-old man was the owner and a caretaker of Mount St. Helens Lodge in Spirit Lake. He had survived the sinking of a troop ship by Germany's submarine off the coast of Ireland during World War I. He was not able to leave just because the scientists thought it was in danger. Truman told reporters, "I have any idea whether it will blow, but I don't believe it to the point that I'm going to pack up." On May 1980, Truman and his lodge were buried beneath 150 feet of mud. Debris from the volcanic eruption, his body was never found. It is foolish to recognize danger or temptation and think that we will somehow be exempt from the consequences if we linger. If we believe Scripture's warning concerning temptation, we will surely flee. See, the only real protection we have is to take the same approach Joseph did when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:12, and I read the last part of that verse, "And he left his garment in her hand and fled." Temptation will ruin you. You stick around long enough, you keep playing with the things that you shouldn't be playing with. You keep doing the things you shouldn't be doing, and it's going to ruin you. There's an impact. There's a consequence. And not only does it ruin you and your family, people around you. "Well, I thought he was a Christian. I thought he loved the Lord. Hey, he used to teach my youth." Listen. Anytime you fall into sin, it doesn't just impact you. There's a consequence. There's a let's call it friendly fire. People around you get hurt, right? People around you see things differently. People around you start questioning, "Hey, is Christianity real? Hey, why would I believe what you believe and look at Eddie? Hey, why would I believe what I believe and look at the pastor?" Not saying that he's in sin. I'm just saying when you sin or when you fall into temptation, there's a ruin, and it doesn't just impact you. It impacts everybody around you. And guess what? It's hard to repair it afterwards. There's a ruin to it. I don't know how else to explain this. But this has been on my heart for a week. And I've been praying for the youth. I haven't seen them in like a month. I've been praying for my wife. I've been praying for this new job I have. I've been praying for the church. And in my heart, I'm like, look, I know that we're not perfect. I know that you guys are going through things. I know because I'm going through things. But listen, don't get caught up in the stupid things that you got away from. Flee from it. Leave the garment and run. But note that you can't do it by yourself. Please note that. This is the only way out. This is it. Reading every day when you don't want to. When you feel like, "I'd rather watch that show to pick up the Word of God and just read a verse." Praying. Honestly. Waking up and be like, "Lord, I can't wait to serve you. I can't wait to text people or tell people about Jesus." The only way you're ever going to get away from all that stuff in your life is this. But let me tell you, once you leave this, the road coming back is a little difficult. Do you understand me? "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He says, "Make this the apple of thine eye." He says, "Hold it," right? Love it. Put it in your heart. Read it. Hey, listen, the Christian life is not about doing dishes. Yes, it's that. Yes, it's cleaning the church. But guess what? It starts with you. It starts with your heart condition. It starts with you getting washed by the Word. It starts with you coming to an understanding that I can't do this anymore. God, I need you. Hey, we have enough fake people in this life. When are we going to find somebody filling the gap and be a real Christian? And if you're going through something and you don't know how to get away from it, talk to somebody else. Ask him to pray for you. See, we do so many things in secret that we're so scared to be honest and open. But yet, we'll sin openly. That makes no sense. Dude, if you're going through something, tell somebody before it's too late. Let them love on you. Let them pray for you, because it will ruin your life. Hey, and this is it, and I just share this with you. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. And you know what the last part of that verse says? And he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Hebrews 2:8 says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted. You know who he's talking about, right? Even Jesus Christ was tempted. He is also succored them that are tempted. You know what that word means? Because I didn't know. I was like, what? What's that word mean? It says assistance and support in times of hardship and distress. Hey, guess what? Jesus was tempted, and he knows that you're going to be tempted. But guess what he says? He says, I'll help you through it. Don't let it ruin you. Don't let it be a rush for you. Don't risk it. Do you get what I'm saying? Let's get back on the same page of loving our Lord, of being motivated to tell people about his love, of his grace. Hey, this world right now is going through a turmoil, right? We're the only light. God has put us in position to tell others about Jesus. But if we're caught up in our own stupidity and our own stuff, and we're fighting the stuff that we should have been long gone. It should have been long gone in our life. And we should be in what I call survival mode, is when you wake up and you're like, oh boy, I'm thinking about that again. Let me read this. And you're in maintenance mode, because you can never be 100% complete, because you're still fleshly. You're still imperfect. Let him oil your life. Let him be that for you. And please know that you cannot do it on your own accord. He could do it for you. He loves you so much. And this would be the end of the message. He loves you so much. I guess you know what he did? If you guys ever had a visual of this, let me paint it for you. Do you know how much the Lord loves you? That he sent his own son, Jesus, right? To die on the cross for our sins. But yeah, we hear about his death, but you don't hear what happened in between. Where he got beat. They beat him. Do you guys understand that? It's like having your own child standing at an altar and somebody taking a whip and beating them. And he was innocent. And they beat him over and over and over again. Do you guys understand what our Savior did for us? Not only did he beat him, right? And they tore his flesh apart, they made him carry a cross. After being torn apart. But look, he loved us so much, because he says, look, you can't do it by yourself. So he says, I'm going to do it for you. And he took the markings of the beating. And I couldn't imagine having my kid beat to almost death and having to carry a cross. With blood coming down his face, they took him, and he's walking up, and he carried his cross, and he nailed him to a cross. Yes, he died, but remember, there was things in between. The suffering that he went through. He died for us, and all he's asking for us to do is to live for him. Do you love him? Do you want to serve him? Do you think about his death like I think about it? Do you know what he did when he hung on there? I couldn't imagine God in all his glory having the mental picture of all of us saying, I'm going to die for him. And he's bleeding. And yet all he's asking for us to do is to love him. To love him truly. To love him to the point where, man, Lord, I love you so much that yes, when I do get tempted, yes, when I do feel like I'm failing, I know you died for me and I could come back to you. That's what he did for us. He gave us a way to escape through him. He suffered for us. This Christian life is hard. It's hard. You know why it's hard? Because it's so easy to get caught up in the stupid things. Back in the day, all they had was horses and camels. Right now, we all have iPhones and Android phones. 2 seconds, and I could do the dumbest things in my life. You get what I'm saying? Do that for him. Because it's not just that. He suffered for us. If you guys are going through something, I don't know what you're going through, but if you're going through something, I ask that you just, man, ask somebody for help. Ask somebody to pray for you. People here do truly love each other.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.